special. So thankful for what Christ endured for us. And his great love for us ought to cause us to love him more. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew in front of you. I'd like to encourage you to grab that and use it today. We've got a lot of scriptures that we're going to look at today. In my preaching, I always try to make sure there's lots of scripture because I might not have anything good to say, but God's Word always has something good to say. And we do have a lot of scriptures I want to share with you today as we learn about the fact that Jesus is greater than Abraham. And throughout his ministry, there were times as Jesus dealt with the Pharisees and the scribes and Jews who doubted and did not believe in him. They always were skeptical, and the things that Jesus claimed let them know who he thought he was, and they were always asking him these questions, like we studied that the woman at the well said, are you greater than our father Jacob? You know, who do you think you are? Do you think you're greater than the patriarchs? And this morning, a similar question is asked in John chapter 8, verse 53. If you're able, let's stand to honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. John 8 and verse 53, we'll just read one verse to take our text and get going this morning. The Word of God says, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. Please help me to preach it exactly as you'd have me to. I pray you'd convict hearts today. If there's a man or a woman, a boy or a girl in this service who's never come to saving faith in Christ alone, I pray today would be the day they'd be saved, Lord. You've made a way for us to receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life, and you've made it so simple because you did it all on the cross. I pray, Lord, that we would just trust in you today, that we would have faith like Father Abraham, just to believe your word, and that it would be accounted to us for righteousness. Please help me, Lord, for I'm nothing without you. Please convict hearts today. Help us to see how great you are, and may you get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. This passage of scripture in John chapter 8, and to be honest, I wanted to really cover a lot more territory than we have time for today, and as the Lord allows, we'll look at some different things in the weeks to come, but if you study John 8, you'll notice in verses 21 to 24, Jesus tells those that he's speaking to, those scribes and Pharisees, where he would go, and they were confused by that. In verses 25 and 20 to 27, they want to know who he is. Who are you? And Jesus says, well, I'm the same that I told you from the beginning. You know, Jesus never changed his story. From the very beginning, he said, I and my Father are one. I'm equal with the Father. He never changed it, and yet they were always asking him, well, who do you think you are? Who are you? Well, I'm the same one I said I was in the beginning. I'm the same one that John told you I was. This is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And all the while, he never changed. He is who he has always been and who he always will be. In verses 28 to 36, it speaks to us about when he would be lifted up. And of course, speaking of his crucifixion, where he would pay for the sin of the whole world. In verses 37 to 42 in John 8, you find the works of Father Abraham. And the works that he did were not works unto righteousness. We'll learn about in a little bit. His righteousness didn't come from his works. His righteousness came from his faith in God. And by the way, whatever righteousness you and I will have in this world, whatever goodness that will be in us, it won't come by what we do. It'll come by our faith in Christ and who he is. In verses 43 to 59, it tells us about the words of God. And in verses 51 to 59, which we'll look at in a little while, we see the way of life. And there's so much good stuff here in God's Word, and just the richness of this passage of Scripture. I'd like to encourage you to take some time to read that this afternoon, John 8, 21 to 59, and it'll bless your heart. But before we get into this part about Jesus, I want to talk to you for just a little while about the legacy of Father Abraham. And if you got a bulletin, you got a place there to take notes. Maybe you want to jot some of these things and scripture references down. But the legacy of Father Abraham and all of this interaction with Jesus and the Jews and all of them trying to figure out who he thinks he is and all of him trying to tell them who he is and what he would do and how he would die for their sins and raise again and how that he was ascending up into heaven and that because of their unbelief, they couldn't go. But if they would believe, they could have life. And all of that, they say, well, who do you think you are? Do you think you're greater than our father Abraham? Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? In other words, they just said, who do you think you are? And so Jesus gives them the answer. But before we can get into all that, I want you to see the legacy of Father Abraham, because these people had great reverence and respect for Father Abraham, and they do to this day. By the way, you look at the major religions in the world today, and you can find something common when you get up to Abraham, right? Amen. This morning, we are here to worship the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Right? And you think about the impact that Abraham has had on the world for ages to come. Why? Why does Abraham have such an impact? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to tell you that these other religions are worshiping the same God as we do because they believe in Abraham too. That's not what I'm saying. But Abraham, because of his faith in God, had a huge impact on generations to come. These men and their claim to fame and their trust and their hope was built on the fact that they were the seed of Abraham. Listen, we are direct descendants of Abraham. So we're good with God, was what they thought. But Jesus was trying to tell them, it's not the fact that you are of the lineage of Abraham, that's not going to save you. Amen. The fact that your great-granddaddy was a Baptist preacher isn't going to save you either. Amen. I'm amazed by that. When you talk to somebody about their soul, well, my grandpa was a Baptist preacher. Well, praise God. What about you? Where's your faith? And that's essentially what Jesus was telling these men. Abraham is our father. That's great. But where's your faith at? Who do you believe in? Notice the promises that Abraham received. If you would, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to use our Bibles a little bit today, if that's all right. Hebrews 11, verse 8. Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 12. The Word of God says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should hereafter receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. And I want you to get this. Abraham, God came to him in a vision and said, I want you to get up. I want you to leave your family. I want you to go over here to a place I'm going to give you. God gave him a promise, and Abraham didn't know where he was going to go. He didn't know how everything was going to play out. He just believed God and did what he said. God promised him that he would have a son, and from that son, he would raise up many nations. And he was, by the time God fulfilled that promise, there was no way for him to have kids. And it was impossible for Sarah to bear children. And yet he did not stagger at the promises of God. He believed the promises of God. And because he believed, he received the promise. In verse 12 it says, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. Any of you ever feel like that? See, some of y'all don't appreciate that. I love the way the Bible says stuff. Listen, he was promised he was going to have a son, but he was as good as dead. You know what that means? It means that it was way past time to be having kids for him. And the Bible says as far as having kids, well, he might as well have been dead. It was impossible. And yet he believed God. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. God promised to raise of him nations. And he believed God. And God fulfilled the promise. The legacy of Father Abraham is he was the one who received the promises. Why? Because he believed God. You know, God makes many promises to you and me today as well. Amen. And we can enjoy those promises. And we can rejoice in those promises. And we can live out those promises because the promises of God are fact. Promises of God are all true. There's no reason for us to ever doubt. If God says it, then it's true. And we ought to believe. But you know, maybe you're a little bit like I am sometimes. When I see a promise from God, I say, yeah, but what about this? And sometimes I want to tell God about the circumstances and why it won't work. Well, how stupid can we be? Listen, if God says it, it's done. There are no circumstances that are too great for God. He's greater. The promises. Next, notice the forgiveness. Find in your Bibles Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I hope you're writing down these references so you can go back and read these and study them in greater detail this week. Romans 4. You find Romans chapter 4, find verse number 16. Not only did Abraham have the legacy of the promises of God, he had the legacy of the forgiveness of God. In Romans 4, 16, the Bible says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. We're going to read a little bit more, but I think you can get an idea of what we're talking about here by the first part of the verse. What is it that we have by grace through faith? Salvation. For by grace are ye saved through faith. So that's what we're talking about. And he says, listen, you can get the promise of forgiveness of sin. You can get the promise of eternal life. And not just to those that are of the law, not just to the Jews, not just to the Hebrews, but to everybody who comes to God by faith like Abraham did. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead. By the way, quicken doesn't mean to make fast. It means to make alive. Everybody with me? When God quickens, it doesn't mean he makes somebody fast, although I wish he'd do that for me. It means he makes you alive, and I'm glad he's done that for me. He quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, if you don't love that, Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope. I don't know where you're at in your life today. I don't know what circumstances you face, whether it's physical or medical or emotional or spiritual or maybe family trouble or financial trouble. I don't know what you're facing in this world. I know there are a lot of times in our life we feel like the situation is beyond hope. You ever feel hopeless? You ever feel like the situation is past hope? Amen. Well, listen, when your faith is in God, you can hope against hope. You can hope. You can hope when there's no hope that the world could ever offer. There's no hope for anything you could ever do. God is able. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. Listen, your situation may be impossible for you. It may be impossible for the world. It may be impossible for medical science, but nothing is impossible with God. Amen. And if he says it, he'll do it. Amen. Believe God. Don't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. Don't let that shake you, but be strong in the faith. By the way, you're never too old to be strong in the faith. We talk about kids and how strong their faith is and how we need to have faith like a child. You ought not ever lose that. You'd be 100 years old or 115 years old. My goal is 120. Why not, right? It doesn't matter. We ought to be strong in the faith. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now this word imputed, it means that God put it on his account. You know what's on all of our accounts as human beings? Wickedness, sin, unrighteousness. We're all condemned. But God, when we put faith in God, he puts righteousness on our account. Righteousness that we don't have. Righteousness that we could never earn. Righteousness that we will never deserve. He puts it on our account when we believe his word. Somebody explained it like this. If you take a piece of glass that's tinted red and you look through it, everything looks red. Right? That's the way that works. Take a piece of glass, it's tinted green. You look through it, everything looks green. Well, God looks at our lives when we trust in him. He looks at our lives through the lens of Jesus Christ. And he looks through that lens and he sees the pureness and the holiness of Christ in us because we believe. Verse 23, now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, praise God, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Listen, Abraham was a sinner just like anybody else. Abraham needed a Savior just like everybody else. But he believed the promise of God, and because he believed in God and called on the Lord, God put his righteousness on his account. God gave him forgiveness of his sin. Listen, if you don't realize it today, you desperately need the forgiveness of sin. We all do. Listen, God is not going to allow sin into his kingdom. And we've got a problem because we're all sinners. You say, well, I've tried to do, you know, I used to do really, really bad, but now I try to do really, really good. It doesn't matter how much good you do, you can't cover up the bad that you've done. The only thing that can cover our sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only way to get that blood applied to your account or imputed to you is through faith in Christ alone. What am I saying? I'm saying that he got forgiveness because of his faith. Because he believed God, he received the forgiveness and the imputation of righteousness on his account. And the only way you and I will ever get that is when we will repent of our sin, turn away from our sin, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, have faith in his gospel, and he gives us everlasting life. The Sunday school teacher asked her class, what's the one thing you have to do before you can receive forgiveness of your sin? And one little boy said, sin. I think we're all ready. I think we're all primed and ready to receive forgiveness. Because we've all sinned. I don't know what sin may be in your life that's unrepented, unconfessed, but I know this: forgiveness is available to you right now. Amen. You confess it, he'll forgive it. And we believe. The legacy of Abraham, he had the promises, he had the forgiveness, he also had righteousness. There in Romans 4, back up to verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now you get that? Abraham wasn't righteous because of the good works he had done. If what you do gets you grace, then it's not grace. It's a reward. If it's your works that gets you this thing from God, then it's not a gift. If you work for it, it's not a gift. Listen, and we need to understand that. If any of you ever wanted to give me a new truck, just say. You got to have a good illustration, right? say somebody in the church wanted to give me a new truck, and I say, oh, man, that is too, there's no way I could accept that as a gift. It's too much. Why don't you let me help you pay for it? I'll give you $100. And you say, well, if it'll make you feel better, I'll take your $100. Is it still a gift? No, I just got a new truck for $100. Sounds like a good deal to me, but it's still not a gift. You see, anytime we try to put something into it, we're taking away from the fact that it's a gift. And I want you to understand this, because you and I can add nothing to what Christ did to purchase our salvation. It is 100% a free gift. Oh, so you ought not. I know where you're going with this. You Baptists. Yeah, us Baptists. You think you can just say a prayer and then you can just live like the devil and it doesn't matter? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I try to work for my Lord. I try to serve Him. I try to live for the kingdom of God. But I don't do any of that so that I can get eternal life. I do it because I have been given eternal life. Does that make sense? But we're not trying to earn it. How are you going to, what are you going to do to add to God's only Son dying on the cross for your sins? What could you possibly add to that? It's like somebody giving me a $75,000 truck and saying, here, let me give you $100 for that to help out. No, it's not like that at all. It's infinitely bigger than that. What can we possibly do to add to God's only Son suffering and dying and being buried and raising again the third day? We can't add to that. No, it's a free gift. And the righteousness that Abraham had nothing to do with his works. Verse 4 said, but to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace. It's not a gift, but of debt. If we're working for it, then God owes us something. And let me tell you something, friend, God owes us nothing. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And Abraham got the righteousness of God by faith in God, and you can have the righteousness of God not by works, but by faith in the one who justifies the ungodly. Well, who's the ungodly? That'd be me. But I can be justified in the sight of God by faith in Christ alone. He got the promises, he got forgiveness, he got righteousness, and he got an inheritance. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Are we having fun yet? I'll let you know if I stop having fun. Galatians chapter 3. Find verse 7. The guy at the computer finds them fast, doesn't he? Verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now, God gave Abraham an inheritance, right? He promised him a land. He said, you're going to get this inheritance. You're going to have these. This seed is going to be blessed. He promised him those things. Now, you need to know something. They which are of faith are the same are the children of Abraham. I'm a Gentile. Most of the people in this room today are Gentiles. We might got a few people in our church that have some Jewish lineage. But that's the way the Bible divides up the peoples of the world. Jews and everybody else. I'm some of the everybody else. I'm a filthy, dirty Gentile, Greek. I come from the world. My lineage is pagan. As a matter of fact, I'm not really sure what I am. I got just about this much Creek blood, so I got a CDIB card. Just about that much. Whatever else I am, I have no idea. Maybe I'll get on Ancestry.com and figure it out one of these days. But I know this, I have an inheritance with God, not because of my bloodline, but because of faith. Listen, the Jews, they were trusting the fact that they had been circumcised and they had kept the law and they had done all these things. And we're going to learn here in a second, that has nothing to do with it. Abraham wasn't called by God when he was circumcised. The circumcision was a sign of his calling. By the way, that goes right along with the truth about baptism today too. Baptism has nothing to do with you getting to go to heaven. It's a sign that you've answered the call of God to salvation.
Amen.
Okay. Number 8, verse 8. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of the faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now skip down to verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, God gave him a promise and said, in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And the Jews thought, that's us. We're the seed of Abraham. We're the reason the world is blessed. We're so awesome. And the word of God saying, listen, it's not you. It's Christ. It wasn't the seeds that would bless the world. It's the seed. Christ Jesus the Lord. He is the reason that the world would be blessed. And he is the seed of Abraham. He is of the lineage of Abraham. But it's because of Christ that we have the blessings. Verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. In other words, he said, God gave this promise to Abraham by faith, and it was a long time till the law came. This promise, this grace of God, this inheritance that I have given to Abraham has nothing to do with the law or the keeping of the law. It has everything to do with me, God says, and my promises.
Amen.
Verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. He says the law came later. The law came because of our transgression to show us that we need a Savior. Is the law against the grace of God or the promises of God? No, not at all. We needed the law until Christ came. Verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The law was our schoolmaster. The law was to teach us that we needed a Savior, and it was there for us to guide us until the Savior came. And thank God he came and fulfilled all the law and the prophets. Jesus is the reason for all these great things. I want you to get it. Abraham had this legacy. He had received the promises of God. He had received forgiveness of his sins. He had received the righteousness of God. He had received an inheritance that was promised to him. But all of that was only possible because of Jesus Christ himself. I want you to go back to John chapter 8 real quickly. John 8, and let's look at verse 51 to 59. John 8:51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil, Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. A couple of things I want you to see very quickly. Jesus Christ is greater than Abraham. He's greater to give life. I want you to consider this. When you look at the promises that Abraham got, the forgiveness of sin, the righteousness, the inheritance, you know where all that came from? It came from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Abraham didn't know who it would be exactly, but he trusted in the Christ, the Messiah. He trusted in the promises of God to come. And Jesus is the fulfillment of all those things. You and I can have the promises of God today by faith in Christ. You and I can have forgiveness of sin today because of faith in Christ. You and I can have the righteousness of God on our account because of faith in Christ. You and I can have inheritance in heaven, uncorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away forever, reserved in heaven. You can have that inheritance today when you put your faith in Christ. You look at this promise of life that he gave, and you know, you think about John the Baptist when he was baptizing. You read about it in Matthew 3, and in verse 9 it says, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And even when he was baptizing, John the Baptist, when the Jews came to him, he said, you need to bring fruits meet for repentance. If you've really repented, if you really want to change, you really believe, you need to understand something. You can't be trusting in Abraham. You think you're the seed of Abraham and that makes you okay with God? God could raise up children Abraham from the rocks. It's not a big deal. That's easy for God. He can make anybody. No, it has to do with your heart of repentance and faith. John said, there's one coming that's mightier than I am. And that's the one you need to have faith in. Jesus is greater to give life. If you look there in verse 51 on our text, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And all through this passage of Scripture, he gives you the way to have life. John 8, 24 says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us forgiveness of sin and eternal life. In verse 28, he says, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And Jesus said, the way I'm going to give you life is by giving my life for you when he was lifted up on Calvary's cross. And listen, friend, when Jesus hung on that old rugged cross, he was there for you and for me. For my sin, he bore the nails. He's greater to give life. And he's greater, so he should get all the glory. In verse 56, Jesus told those Jews, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And we ought to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham was looking forward to that day. And I believe that from the other side of death, because he had life through faith in Christ, he got to look down and see the day of God. Amen. To see the day of Jesus Christ. And he rejoiced in that day. We look back at his birth and rejoice. We look back at his sinless life and rejoice. We look back at his death, burial, and resurrection, and we rejoice. Amen. We ought to rejoice and give him the glory. I love what Matthew 22, 31 and 32 says, "But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." They said, wait a minute, Abraham's dead. How old do you think you are? And they didn't understand because, yeah, they may be physically dead, but they live forever through faith in Christ. And you and I live forever through faith in Christ. And he ought to get all the glory. You know, it comes down to this. I told you before about the sign over the entrance to Auschwitz, the concentration camp there Nazi Germany had established. And as the trains hauling all those Jews in and others as well came into that, there was a sign over the gate going into that compound, and it said, Arbeit macht frei. And it means work makes free. And see, the Nazis would tell those prisoners as they brought them in there and stripped them of their clothes, and they said, listen, if you'll work, you can earn your freedom. If you work hard, we'll let you go free one day. And they never let them go free. They had no intention of letting them go free. But those people were lied to and led to believe if you just work a little harder, you work a little longer, one day you can earn your freedom. And you know what? That reminds me so much of the devil. You know, he tells people today, if you'll just do better, if you just work harder, if you just clean up your life, if you just turn over a new leaf, if you just try to do a little better than you did before and have a little more religion and all of these things, he tells people, if you just work hard enough, you can be set free from your sin. But friend, nothing can set you free from the burden of sin but the blood of Jesus Christ. Work doesn't make free. Faith in Christ makes free. Jesus told those Jews that day, in verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I wonder this morning, have you ever been set free from your sin? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted in him alone? Hey, listen, eternal life is available. The promises of God, the forgiveness of sin, the righteousness of God on your account, an inheritance with God for in heaven forever and ever is available to everybody, but it's only available to those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is greater than Abraham. All of the great things about Abraham came because of his faith in God. They were only made possible by God. And those things are available to us today if we put our faith and trust in him. We're going to get ready for an invitation this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Have you ever put your faith and trust in Christ? If you are saved, you know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You've received that free gift and you've been given those promises. How are you living your life? We look at this and we say, well, we don't need to work so that we can have freedom of sin. We don't need to work so that we can have eternal life. But that by no means means that we shouldn't work. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it goes on to say, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We don't work to get saved, but we ought to work because we are saved. Amen. Are you living for him day by day? And listen, maybe it feels like work to show up at church on Sunday morning. But this isn't the place we serve God. Out there is where we really work to serve God. Amen. By living for him and loving him and telling others about him.